doing great things. Good to see Sister Heather recovering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can't stop what God's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, can't stop this. Can't stop this. That's right. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I am excited about you being here on a Sunday night. Somebody shout, it's good to be on a Sunday night. And good to have our guest, Miss Melody's guest, with us. Praise the Lord. Glad that you're here. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God that we serve. Hallelujah. How many just basking in the things of the Lord? I believe he's here to do something very special in your life upon tonight. I want to bring to you the message entitled Manifested Momentum. Manifested Momentum. We are in the middle of the three-part series here on more. How many remember, I want more, and then I am moving in power. That's movement. And then momentum. Before we do that, I just want to say thank you to Pastor David for that awesome message upon this morning that we will not forget. Praise God. Things coming to the surface. When the power of God moves mighty and all of a sudden things act off, the enemy tries to tell you that that's because God's power doesn't work. No, that's God's power working it to the surface so you can get it out. So if there is an awesome move of God and you instantly have an attitude, that's God telling you, get that attitude out of there. Because now that it's got to the top and you're full of joy, you can do what? Just flip it on out of there. Praise the Lord. And have the pureness of it. It was a powerful, powerful word. Want you to go back, replay it, share it, get it out to everybody. Praise the Lord. And we know that they will be blessed too. How many like to see somebody else be blessed as well as you? Amen. Praise God. Upon tonight, as we look into the word of the Lord, I want you to just ask the Lord to reveal to you tonight those areas of your life where that he can best manifest momentum in your life. As we go first, we're going to go to the word of the Lord found in 1 John chapter 4. Would you stand for the reading of the word? Stand for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. This will be in the New Living and we can read it all together in concert. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. And he was talking about worldly false prophets. Let's read on. Because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who lives in you is greater. Somebody shout greater. Than the Spirit who lives in the world. Now let's read that last part again. Because the Spirit, Holy Ghost, who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. That's why you have this victory over them. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. As we have learned the power of the reach, to reach out and to grab a hold that we need to reach. And when we reach it for more, it's already a movement. We're learning the languages that the Lord has given us that we might move forward. That tonight I want to just bring to you the idea that you can manifest momentum. That you can manifest momentum. Matter of fact, manifest momentum is simply this. More plus movement equals momentum. As long as you want more of God, and as long as you're moving towards God and doing what the Lord said, you're going to have momentum. Anytime that you mess with the first two and you don't want more and you've arrived, you mess with your momentum. Anytime that you stop moving, you mess with your momentum. You have the power to manifest momentum. And we're going to talk about momentum in just a moment, but it is moment that you move. The moment you move, you start to manifest some momentum. And the enemy is scared of the momentum of the body of Christ. The enemy doesn't want the body of Christ moving and reaching souls and moving in faith for the impossible, moving closer to God. Because the more that people move and the more people that move towards God and the more we're in unity, the more momentum is built. And I'm going to give you a little illustration. that how many knows there's still some baseball going on, and in the baseball they have a pitcher, and the pitcher winds up the pitch, and he'll throw a pitch somewhere between 70 to 105 miles an hour. That's the fastest, and that ball is going to get there lickety split. It can curve, it can fast, it can be high, it can be low. And the hand-eye coordination of those major leaguers, they will swing their bat at over 100 miles an hour. So within less than 7 milliseconds, the bat will hit the ball and there will be a crack. There will be a noise of impact. And that noise of impact, if it's in its proper manner and keep it within the range of its required limitations of the playing field, you will see several things happen. If it's too low, it'll be a grounder, and if there's somebody there, they'll grab it up and throw them out before they can run to the base. If it's popped up too high, then somebody will get under it and catch it, and they'll be out. But there is a momentum that if it's struck at the right angle with the right force, that which was coming into the catcher's mitt goes in the totally opposite direction. And there's a cheer from the crowd that is rooting for the batter's team when it goes all the way out and over the fence, and it's called a home run. And that home run, that switch, that literally that blast of movement of a bat at the proper contact causes a ball that was coming in at 90 miles an hour to reverse its course and go the opposite direction. Turn to somebody and say, there is power to reverse what's being thrown at you. Somebody said, I'm going to hit it a victory till I can take a victory lap. And I'm not just going to walk this season out now. I'm picking up the pace, and I'm going to run it out. And this is my victory season, and I'm going to run it out. See, when somebody hits a home run, they could literally walk the bases and draw it on out and might get a delay of game and stuff. But literally what happens is the cheers, the momentum, the very power and energy causes them to take that victory run around the base. So that they come all the way around, and they're known to have to jog, at least jog. They can't just walk, and they don't crawl, and they don't lollygag. They get moving, and they take that victory lap, because until they touch the home plate, it's not complete. Even though you've knocked it out of the park, you still got to run the bases. Even though people are cheering for you, you still got to do the protocol. You still got to praise him, give him glory, give the testimony, and bring it on home so somebody else can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ too. Somebody shout, I wanted more. I'm moving. I'm going to build up some momentum. Now, Albert Einstein says that it's mass, or the weight and size, which is that which bends space and time. Mass actually bends something that you cannot see. You see it as the black canvas that holds the stars into space, but it's been proven now that literally the space continuum of is like a fabric. How many of we've had that around here? I've held up a fabric and put something heavy in the middle, and it did it, and so people had to hold the corners, and still yet you could see the impression of that which is there, because if it had mass, it began to pull. If we put anything smaller, marbles on it, it would automatically run directly to that which is heavier, and that is what gravity does, is it pulls directly to, because there is something about that. So gravity pulls to, momentum pushes forward. And it is literally the momentum, the carrying force. And it means this, that if you take your mass and times it by your speed, this will equal what force it would take to stop you. That's what momentum is. Momentum is not just jogging. Momentum is the number by which it would take to stop you. And if somebody said, I don't have that number to stop you, they're going to do, whoop, I think I will get out of the way, because the impact will hurt the person with the less momentum more than the one with the momentum. Oh, we see this in football. If you build up your momentum, you can take somebody out. Hallelujah. Because if you've got the weight and the momentum number, it's going to take more than just that little safety coming across there. If he ain't running with an impact to really jar you off of your and cut your momentum, you ain't going down. You're going for a touchdown. Hallelujah. And there's some people I'm talking to tonight in here and on our social media that the Lord is having you build up momentum. Turn to somebody and say, please don't slow down. Please don't decelerate. Hallelujah. We need the momentum, the momentum, the momentum. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Manifest momentum. Now, I want to discuss weight just for a quick moment. And a lot of times when we mention weight, the first thing we think of is getting on a scale to find out how much our body weighs so that we can either feel good or not good about ourselves. We get on the scale, and there's some people that they say the scale's wrong until they go to the doctor, and it's even worse. And then you find out your scale was actually in your benefit and your favor than the other scale. Hallelujah. But it usually reveals your body mass. Somebody say, my body mass. That body mass is what we call weight. Now, in the spirit realm, it looks just a little bit different. There's two types of weights. And Pastor David has preached upon weights that help us and the resistance that help us to be strengthened. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, that they've already proven that it works. I said, there's so many that have already proven that it works, that we should strip off every weight that's slowing us down. Notice movement. Momentum is slowed down by the weights that get on us. The weights that are negative to our testimony. This is why he goes on and says, especially the sin that so easily trips people up. Let us run with endurance. Somebody shout, I'm going to run. Running with, but I ain't running for just a moment. I'm not running just on Sunday. I'm running with endurance. I'm in this thing to win this thing. Hallelujah. And I'm running with endurance the race that God has set before us. Somebody say, we're going to run. We're going to run. Now let's take a look at another scripture found in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Paul then switches and he talks about another weight that is a good weight. He said, that is why we never give up. He is encouraging the people at Corinth, never give up. Though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day, for your present troubles, how many have had some troubles? How many sometimes get stressed over your troubles? How many sometimes it slows you down, bogs you down, you got to think about it for a while? Those troubles, he said, here's how you handle those troubles. One, be overflowing in your joy. Yeah. Hallelujah. These troubles, these present troubles are small in mass. You have to see trouble as small. Compared to who? God. Is he not the greatest mass beyond the universe? The greatest power, the greatest force. So when we see that, we must see him. And then he said that he lives in us. So we must know how much of him lives in us. And so the more we obey and the more we are faithful to obey, the more that we produce holiness. And holiness produces power. And because you've been moving in obedience, you are manifesting momentum. So the enemy will try to magnify, not your God, he will try to magnify your trouble, to try to make your trouble look bigger than your God. Like Brother Shambach said, you ain't got no trouble. All you need is faith in God. When you got faith in God, you ain't got no trouble. Because the faith in God is greater than any trouble that comes. Many times people get stressed out just because they don't have the knowledge. Because when you know something, you're not as troubled by the thing that other people who don't know what you know. When you know how money works, you're not as troubled by the working of your money. When you know how things work and operate, then you're not as troubled and panic and have heart attacks and stress and high blood pressure because you know how it works. And if you work the word works. Amen? So he said, for these present troubles are small and they won't last very long. So if they're small in mass, won't last long in duration, what is their momentum? Their momentum is practically nothing. The momentum of trouble is only what you give to it. You have the power. I'm here to tell you, folks, you have the power in Christ through the Word of God to either manifest momentum of your trouble or manifest the momentum of your victory. Once that you are on the victory path and you are walking it out and you're running it out, if you don't magnify your trouble, talk about your trouble. Tell everybody else about your trouble. What kind of trouble? What about trouble, trouble? I'm in trouble, 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 trouble. When you magnify the trouble, you get more trouble. But when you magnify God, you get more God, and more of God is part of your equation, and moving and testifying about God is part of your momentum. Somebody shout, I'm manifesting momentum. Said, now yet they produce something for us if we use this properly, that trouble will produce for us a testimony. Because if we understand that every battle means a victory, then every victory is a testimony. And our faith is already a pre-testimony because we can prophesy the outcome. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs those troubles. So I told you, if somebody, now if you were up against a very powerful, moving, 400-pound, 7-foot-tall, ripped with muscles, front lineman who could do the 40 in 4.2, and he's coming at you, how many would know that might be some trouble? He's got some momentum. But if you know how to do a slide, you can trip your trouble instead of tripping over your trouble. If you know how to use the momentum and turn and turn and pull the momentum out of your way, you won't get impacted by it. And this is what the Lord is training us, that with our joy and with the things that we're learning, with the measurements of our maturity, that we're not going to experience the troubles that we had that would cause us to slow down and stop before. God is looking for a people that understand, I'm not going to be stopped by this. I recognize that I've got unstoppable faith. See, because what really matters is that when we are trusting, we cannot be stopped. Let's take a look at the next screen that I'm going to hit you with right here. Look at this. It is the word. It says this. So, he draws on that. So we don't look at the troubles we can see. So he tells us what? Don't even look at it. What? Don't even look at it. What? I can't see you. Don't even look at it. Where should your focus be? Because look means focus. Your focus should be on the Word of God, the assignment of God, the joy, the peace, everything that God's given to you, right? So that we fix our gaze on the invisible things, which are the internal spiritual things. For the things we see now will soon be. How many have ever been in some trouble and now looking back at it, you can say, bye-bye, it's gone. But while you were in the battle, it tried to prophesy to you that it was going to be there forever. You were going to be in that little dinky apartment forever. It tries to tell you you're going to be in that beat-up car forever. You're going to be in that trouble forever. You're going to be sad forever. It tries to prophesy to you like it's eternal. And I heard one man, and I'll give him a quote for that, and that is Pastor Jeffrey Becker. He said this, you must not make temporary things eternal and eternal things temporary. Keep the temporary, temporary. Their clock is running out. And keep the eternal, eternal. Because when you keep that right, you know you can outlast your enemy. I would tell you one time I had poison ivy, poison oak. At the same time, it was all over my face. I was out here clearing some stuff off of the fence row, and I had to preach with it. And I told folks, if they can't stand looking at me with all of this calamine lotion on my face, and I'm thankful we weren't on television at the time, and I said, just close your eyes. It's the same voice. You can get anointed by the voice, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, not by the look. But those 2 weeks were so horrible that I thought they were going to keep going and going. It felt, how many knows that when you're waiting for the outcome, sometimes it feels like it's forever. But here's the trick. You have to make sure you're not waiting. Waiting is the longest time. But if you're pursuing, you're not waiting. The only one you're supposed to wait with expectancy is upon the Lord. Wait and with him is expectancy that he is going to show up and that you're doing everything you know how to do at his feet. And as long as you're in his presence, that time can go by quick. Say, well, when will I? When will I? When will I? No, I will. I will. I will. I will. I'm going to come to that day because I'm taking the steps necessary to get to that day. I am manifesting the momentum. Oh, hallelujah. When we're studying for school, we manifest our momentum. If we're not looking for more knowledge and how to digest it, we will not be moving in momentum, and all of a sudden the assignments will catch up to us and we'll say, oh, and stress out because we're so far behind. Because if you don't move, it's called procrastination. And procrastination will always bite you in the, yeah, it'll always bite you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I heard a quote and decided to derail it just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he said, keep your eyes upon that which lasts forever. Your salvation lasts forever. Your spirit man relationship lasts forever. The presence of God is going to last forever. Being in a relationship with God closer and closer is going to last forever. Let us keep that in our top priority. Amen. Now, in the book of Mark, the Lord goes on to say this, and this is a wonderful story. Jesus and his companions went down, his disciples went down to the town of Capernaum. This was early in the Lord's ministry. And when the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and he began to teach. And every time the Lord taught, faith was built and doubt was eradicated. If he found doubt, he would teach. And he was always found teaching. People were hungry for the teaching, and there was a reason. The people were amazed at his teaching, the word says, for he taught with what? Real authority. Real authority has weight. And so the Lord comes not pretending, but real. He doesn't come religious. He comes real. He doesn't come with all the pretenses and the man-made traditions. He comes real. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, for real, with real authority. And that authority we know that was given to him by God the Father to operate in the earth. Quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. Now here comes the action of the adversary. He cried out because of the presence of Jesus' teaching. That teaching, that word being released, stirred up the devil. That man had been in the synagogue and been doing just fine because there was no real authority. He could find a lesser place, a hide, and there's been plenty of people possessed of demons in the United States that hide in religious places. Because there's no power and authority to uproot them. And so they can pitch their pitch, and the preacher keeps striking out, and the other people keep striking, because there is no slugger that has a bat that'll take it out of the ballpark. But Jesus that day walked into the synagogue and began to teach. And when the word went forth, then the devil got stirred up. It was coming to the surface. Hallelujah. And he said, why are you interfering with us? We control this church. He's probably one of those deacon members. Why have you come? Why are you come to interfere with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? He knew he had the authority, the weight to destroy, punish them forever. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. But Jesus reprimanded the man and the demons he carried and said, be quiet. Shut your mouth. Shut up. And then he swung the bat. And God's bat is his word. And he swung the word and look at it. Come out! That was the impact of where the baseball, the pitch. The pitch was the evil spirit crying out. The come out was the bat hitting it. The Lord ordered or commanded. How many knows he don't ask? He commands. Authority don't ask. Authority commands. Especially when dealing with your adversary. You don't try to negotiate with the robber when the robber's in the house. Not when you know you got the power and authority to take him out. Now, if you ain't got no power and authority, you probably need to clear out of the house. So there's no loss of life. And then do what? Call 911 and get some authority up there. Right? All right. And so at that, when the Lord hit him with the baseball bat, come out! The evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out the paramedics to help him with his epileptic fit. No. Then those demons came out of him, and amazement gripped the audience because they had never seen demons obey anybody. What sort of new teaching is this? This was teaching with manifested momentum. The teaching uprooted and caused the enemy to cry out. And the Lord was not afraid of the confrontation. Matter of fact, the preacher that I was under, Reverend C.L. Groover, he said, whatever you do, don't give the enemy the baseball bat to hit you with. Keep it in your hand. Keep walking tall. They said this, and as they were saying excitingly, it has his teaching. It has his what? His teaching has such authority. So much authority that even the evil spirits obey his orders. And then from there, the news. Here goes the crowd. Woo! Somebody hit a home run. The news about Jesus quickly spread throughout the entire region of Galilee. When you have authority from heaven, you must not be scared of confrontation. The enemy is supposed to scream out and know you're carrying the word of God's sword. He's supposed to know that the word of God is coming out of your mouth and you have got the delegated authority from the Most High. You, after all, are the sons and daughters of the King. And when your voice is the voice of the Lord, those enemy know it. And they are going to try to see if you know it. How many knows that he didn't have to declare that he was the Holy One? The demons declared it for him. We know who we're up against. Just like the seven sons of Sceva, they tried to cast out demons out of a man. They said, we adjure you to come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They didn't believe in the name of Jesus. They weren't even supporters of Paul. They weren't even in his mentorship class. But they wanted to try something without the authority. And those demons in that man, one man took seven other grown men and ripped the clothes off and caused them bleeding and screaming and running because somebody had more momentum than the other. And it had to do with authority. Shout, authority. Ooh, glory to God. I want to just mention just for a moment that authority. When the Lord came upon the centurion soldier and the soldier was asking that the Lord would not come to his house because he was a man of authority. that he would say to servants, come and go, and they had to come and go, and he had authority above him, and he knew how to be accountable. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy, because you're of such high authority, for you to come into my house. Humility. And he said, because you of who you are, honor, speak the word only, and my servant's going to be healed. Not even a family member, just a servant. He's my best servant. I really like him, but he's dying of palsy. But Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to step in my door. But because of the weight you carry, I'm going to put my faith in your word. And the word is the baseball bat. It's the sword. Some people don't know swords play, and we don't watch that as a sport. So I've converted it to the baseball bat. Hallelujah. You've got the baseball bat in your mouth. Just speak the word from here, and the demons way over there are going to be cast out. And the Lord was shocked. Now, I thought the Lord knew everything. But while walking in this flesh, there were some things that were allowed for him to engage in, not just from his godness. And he said, I've not found so great of faith. Now, that means more than all his disciples, more than anybody that's been following up to that point. He said, no, not in all of Israel. This man's not even a citizen of Israel. He's a Roman soldier. And I found because he understood the weight of authority and he humbled himself and he honored the Lord, that the Lord could heal long distance with just sending a word. Up until that time, they all wanted, lay hands on me, lay hands, lay hands, lay hands. He said, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. And after the Lord commended him, then the Lord said, it is done exactly as you have believed. What did he say? You now have that weight of authority that I have given. It's done. Go back and look for it. There was something about, quote, greatness. Two occasions, the disciples were caught arguing over who would be the greatest. Chapter 13 and chapter 21. They still didn't get the message from the first time. There were a few of them that were competing. You know, after all, there were some jealousies that could arise because it looked like John was becoming Jesus' favorite. And Peter, James, and John were always the ones that got to go with him on these special trips to the mount and see him transform and to Jairus' house and see him resurrect and all these, and so the others and everyone was jostling for position. And the Lord squelched their idea of competition. And he said, receive a little child. Receive this child. Because unless you operate like this child, in the humility of this child, you are not great at all. Now, that was a big slap for them because, after all, we're grown men. And the Lord is saying, unless you understand the simplicity of the faith and humility and honor of a child, you will not be great in the kingdom. Well, they soon forgot, just like a lot of Christians today in 2021, we have to be careful of Christian amnesia. How many knows that's why we rehearse our testimonies over and again? We rehearse the things that God has done. We rehearse the word over and over again so that we don't soon forget the goodness of God. So now after that, James and John's mom has come into the picture to get special seating in heaven for her two sons. Peter and Andrew and Thomas and Philip got a problem with James and John. And again, they're arguing some 2 years later. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And the Lord just simply hits them and hammers them with this. Unless you're humble enough to serve others to help them, you'll not be great. For the greatest among you will minister and serve other people. It's not about the title or the position. It's about the status of the heart. Because you see, as long as you're desperate and in need, you'll never be the one to feed. As long as you're hungry to always be filled and you are never full, you'll never be able to fill someone else. Because it's out of the overflow. So he's saying the greatest among you are those who already know and are full in their relationship with God. They're not trying to be something. They're not trying to get recognition from other people. They just simply are who God says they are. They're carrying what God says they're carrying. And they have enough in their overflow to be generous. And it is that generosity of serving. Because you cannot serve when you're on the hospital bed. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I know there's a lot of preachers that say the church is a hospital. But it does not mean the members are always coming to the ER. Once you have been healed, you become the doctors and the nurses, with the Lord being the head physician. For healed people, heal people, not hurting people. If we're still hurting, we're not going to be able to heal people in that. We have to grow up to the mature place to say, you know, the things I've learned, I keep. I'm not going to lose my joy this week. I'm keeping my joy, I'm keeping my overflow, I'm keeping my peace, I'm keeping what I've learned, and it's going to multiply to others that are around me. Because what God put in me is flowing through me, and what's flowing through me gets on me, and when it gets on me, it's going to get all around me. Just like what happened with Pastor David's illustration, pretty soon the water was all around because it was overflowing out of the vessel. How many know that folks are going to receive because you're in the overflow? You are manifesting momentum. Now I'm going to show you some things that help to manifest momentum because they are weighty. What has weight in your life? Relationships. Who you're affiliated with. Who you're associated with. With, if you have people with in power, if you have connections with people that have powerful understandings. Somebody reached out to me and said, Apostle, can you help? We're not getting anywhere but the runaround. And so I fired two letters off to elected officials. And lickety-split, within 24 hours, the people who were resisting all of a sudden got a little flame in their backside to start doing something. Because if you have associations with who you know, how many knows you if you know God? And God will also give you friends with friends in high places. So I'm not into the song of I got friends in low places. They come all the time. I number friends in high places. Hallelujah. Number two, numbers. How many knows that numbers mean something? If you have negative numbers in your bank account, it's not good. You want positive numbers in your bank account. How many want positive numbers in your paycheck? And more than just one digit. And more than two digits. You like them three digits, four digits, five digits, six digit payoffs. Hallelujah. On your way to seven digit net worth. Hallelujah. So numbers in finance or your numbers in United Individuals. This is where the body of Christ has failed. While we, up until this other time of reset, that we have come together for the wrong things and refused to get out the bat for the things of Christ. Not wanting confrontation, we would rather sip some coffee and eat a marshmallow than step up to the plate with the bat. We'd rather grab and say, hey, popcorn, hot dog, over here in the spectator rather than step up in the hot seat in front of everybody and say, yes, I'm a Christian. And in the name of Jesus, whack, get out of here, devil. somebody is going to start stepping up to the plate. A whole lot of somebody's going to start stepping up. And pretty soon there's going to be a rally call, because when you start hitting and hitting and hitting and there's no outs and nobody's falling out and nobody's leaving out and nobody's getting offended out and nobody's turning out and nobody's running out, when we're running the bases together, we're rallying one another and we're whooping the devil's team every time. And you know what? Then people sign up for that team. If you've got a winning team, people sign up for it. Look at this. Amount of financial power or amount of individuals that stand with you and for you. If you, they said, if you've got two real friends in life, you are wealthy. And if you've got two very real influential friends in your life, if you've got a very powerful friend in political structure and another one in law, then you can get some things moved. If you have a powerful person in your life that has a lot of clout with bankers, that can say, give them something right there. See, I found this to be true in my life because I went and I honored a man, one of my professors at MSU, and I asked him to mentor me because I was paying close attention to the terms and the vocabulary he said that he hedged, that folks that didn't know what he was talking about wouldn't know that he was very successful in his investments. And so he didn't come out and say, I'm very successful in my investments, because that had been pride. He was carrying weight of knowledge. And so when I picked up on it and one other student picked up on it, we teamed up to learn, but I was the only one that went to him for mentorship. And he said, with everything that I've got going on, I cannot mentor you, but I have a friend that I believe, and he's a Christian man, and I believe that he'll take you in. And he said, now, you cannot normally see this person without at least $500,000 worth of assets. Because he's in the high wealth management. But you tell him that I sent you. And with a referral of somebody I knew that I honored, opened the door. I didn't have no $500,000 to get in and see nobody for an appointment. But with the referral of somebody I knew, got me in the door to be able to get mentorship and build a relationship. Isn't that how it works? So how many know that our testimony is a referral to somebody to get them to Jesus so they can have the same type of relationship that we have with the Lord? Amen? Good reputation and credibility. Do people know and value you? You are the one who builds up the good reputation and credibility. So that when people say your name, it has a good feel about it. It has a good ring about it. It has a good taste in their mouth. How many have heard somebody's name and you went, oh, God, no, I'm running the other direction. No, already been there, done that. I know their reputation. Well, I'd like to refer them to you to build your new mansion. Absolutely not. Praise the Lord. We're going on. You just don't know what I know. But if somebody's of good reputation and you've already heard that they've got a good reputation and credibility, you are more willing to receive. In the same way as us, that when we have that good reputation and credibility, people then will say, I want them. So you might be up against a lot of competition in your business or your career or everything, but if you've got a good reputation and good credibility, people will bypass everybody they don't know and go, I want her. I want him. Sometimes that's how, Tim, how some of them, clients start to come to you is because of your good reputation and credibility. And other people say, I know him. He's done right by me. Boom. And they bypass all the other people in town and send that person, their friend, that direction to Tim. Blessings can come because of the weight of your reputation and credibility. Amen? Oh, I'm giving you some good stuff. This will help folks. If you got a business or career, want to be in a business or career, or you want to excel, this is what comes up. 4, prominent presence and influence. When you step into a room, what kind of impact do you have upon the atmosphere? When you step into a place, does nobody see you? I remember being at the place where I'm 6'5", they can't see me. I drove a great big old van, they don't see that. I was invisible to everybody. And I said, Lord, what in the world's wrong with this? And he said, let's do a little experiment. I would go through Walmart, people, kids would bump into me, and people would run carts into me and everything. I'm going like, hello? How many blind people are there in Springfield? The Lord said, they don't understand nice. Put your game face on. And it worked. I'd walk in the door just kind of like, and get bumped into. I'd walk in the door. Boom. Clear the path. Giant is here. We see him. Because if they don't get it by the revelation of your smile, they'll get it by the situation of your firmness. Amen. Prominent presence. So you don't go to a professional interview dressed in flip-flops, pants hanging off, shirt wide open, and jewelry on every body part under the sun. You got to know that you're dressed for where you're going. So if you're going to go play golf with a billionaire, you dress up in golf garb. And if you ain't got it, you go buy it. David went to go golfing with me. I understood the protocol. He forgot his shirt. They said, young man, you cannot play without a collared shirt. So, well, you either have to go back home or you have to buy one, $125 or whatever it was. Dad, can I borrow some money? You go to the bowling alley. If you have your own pair of shoes, they better meet the qualifications of bowling shoes. You can't get out there with your house slippers. You have to be dressed for where you're going. You have to dress your personality for where you're going. You do not act like a slob if you're going to the top. Too long we've had this easy, breezy, lazy spirit in some areas. And that's not cutting it. God is wanting us to understand the royalty we are. That even in a church t-shirt, that we can still have prominence. Not pride, prominence. Pride says, I don't have anything to do with y'all. I'm the number one importance. Prominence means I've walked in to change something for the better. I've come here. When I show up, that's what God does. When he shows up in your life, he doesn't leave you the same. He always makes you better. That when you show up in a room, you automatically have things that are going to help other people be better. Matter of fact, successful people love to have people around them that not just present to them problems, but present to them solutions to the problem. They go, oh, I like them. They don't just come to me with trouble. They come to me troubleshooting and knocking it out and how to make it better. Yeah. So if you find something that you don't like at the place where you're at in employment, ask the Lord for the idea of how to make it better corporate-wide. And then don't be bashful enough to write the letter of how that it could benefit the corporation. Yes. Amen. Until I get about 12 people that actually do that, praise God, hallelujah. This is why I want to say that I'm very proud of my future daughter-in-law. She came to me and asked for some advice. She said, there's a whole lot of things at this other place of employment. What do I do? I gave her the understanding. She wrote out a letter. She brought it back to me. I edited it because I happen to know how to write to presidents. And that's not pride. I've done it. Senators, governors, elected officials, sometimes 7 and 8 pages, whether they take the information or not and do it right, but presented properly, academically correct. Yes. And so she brought it to me, gave her a few pointers, but she wasn't scared to turn it in to help them with something. Now, what they do with it is up to them. I was so proud that she had the guts to say, yeah, there's some things wrong, and it's not, I'm not just going to let it get by. I'm going to present the solutions to what you can do. And when that happens, they figure out they didn't know you in the first place. They had you too low. When I wrote some stuff on, when I was working at the factory, I wrote some stuff down and I was applying for another job. And I wrote some things in as the Lord helped me to write it in. And my boss calls me into the back room and he says, come here. And that back room's where Sister Ava, he'd fire folks and they'd go out in tears. He was a very tough supervisor. His name was Don George and they called it Georgetown. And if you went up there, it was his town, his thing. He was the coach. He was the supervisor. And he'd stand up in the window and watch. And he had his game face on all the time. I found his heart, and later on, through testimony and stuff, he started going back to church with his wife, and he commended me for it. But as I went in to that, he brought me up in the office, and he said, in all of my 15 years of being supervisor, I have never had this ever happen before. He still got his game face on. Now, what are you thinking? My God, what did I do? He wasn't smiling. He said, you have clogged up the job, the whole protocol, because you put in, and now all of the supervisors are clamoring over you. So before lunch, you're going to have an answer for me. You can have that labor grade 4 job. It's yours because of seniority. You could have that other over there underneath that supervisor. You could have that, may be short-lived because they don't, might not have a long production line. You can have this over here. Or I will add one in the pot and make you my assistant supervisor. So I'm young, and I run, and I get to lunch, and I call my dad on the phone. Dad, here's what's going on. I need some advice. I need some prayer. He said, well, honey, the Lord will help you. Trust the leading of the Spirit. I was hoping, because he's my pastor, and a doctor in theology, and got a lot of life experience, and taught school, and give me a little insight, you know, a little pep talk, a little of this. And his whole pep talk was, God's got you, follow the Spirit. I got off the phone going, Lord Jesus. So I slowly ate my sandwich and asked the Lord, what do I do? He said, you found favor with your supervisor, that he create a spot for you. Take that one. He said in 15 years, nobody had ever asked the questions. And the questions were, how do you get this job if you don't have experience? And how do you get experience if you can't get that job? And I would like to say to you that what I have to offer is far beyond the position that I'm at. And that which I bring to the table would be a blessing to this corporation, as I know the corporation has been a blessing to me. And I'm just hoping that the corporation and someone will give me the opportunity to prove myself. Nobody had the guts to stand up and say, I got something and it's going to benefit you. When I did that, God gave me favor. Because nobody writes like that. How much is the hourly wage? Okay, I'll do that, and I'll just go by the system, and blah, 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 blah. And then I'll just be frustrated if I can't get it, and I'll just know that I'm just waiting for it. I had asked questions. And I said, how do you know when somebody's supervisor material at this other, even a couple of years before, said when everyone else is asking you the questions that normally they would ask a supervisor, then you're the one that's already knowledgeable enough to be promoted by the supervisor. If nobody asks you, you ain't ready yet. So that moves me to the next one, which is life experience. Because when life experience is turned into successes, back when the Lord first gave me an understanding of helping people with their finances, I lived in a little 10 by 50 mobile home with a little add-on. And I had a little Corsica, and we were just barely making it. And I handed out my card for financial lessons and help. Nobody wanted an appointment. Would you? You live where? In a 1960s mobile home renting from my in-laws. I had a dream, had a vision, was gathering the knowledge, but it was too early to share with someone else because I didn't have life experiences. Move into 4,600 square foot home that we build ourselves, and it's paid for when we move in. This pay double payments and pay off vans and pay this and that, and say, and I've got a few things going. Would you like an appointment to know what I'm doing? Got a few takers. When you have life experience and successes, or have a mentor that you know that has the life experiences in your corner. Some of the boxers, they don't know who that new young kid is, but if they look at who's in their corner, who's teaching them, who is that coach that's produced seven champions, that's in their corner. Watch out for that young kid, because if he's willing to wrap his arms in time and invest in that young kid is going to come out on top. Yeah. And how many knows that when the Lord wraps his arms around you, he can give you favor with God and man? But I'm here to help you on some things, and I'll bring it home. I got just a couple more. How many are getting something out of this? Yeah. How many are feeling like you're weightier? Yeah. You can read these while I put them on his head. So wealth itself, if you ain't got no money, people shouldn't ask you about how to run money. But when you got net worth, income, credit line, you need to start talking to vocabulary, connections, partnerships, intellectual properties. Jeff, you got intellectual property that you copyrighted. Yep, and got a label. Eagle Nation Music has intellectual property. Pastor Jason, you got intellectual property? You wrote a book. I got intellectual property. All those things are intellectual properties, which means they came from where? We know they came from God downloading, but they came from intellectual production that needed to be copyrighted. When you have intellectual property, you got to protect it because other people will steal it and say they thought of it. Protect it. Real estate owned and profitable. Not the ones you can't get rid of. Get the stuff that's profitable, right? Businesses and investments. I hope that tonight I stir somebody to understand some weight in your life. Notice on this list is not how good I feel. How good I feel is fleeting. How sad I feel, fleeting. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about weight. That when you step into an arena, when you've already been before city council and you're not scared to go before city council and you step in again, they go, oh no, there they are again. Somebody has stepped up to the plate. How many know when you're watching baseball, you know when the home run slugger has stepped up to the plate? And what does the outfield do? How many want to start backing your enemy up? Because they know you're not going to hit some little dribble. Hallelujah. You're not just in this thing to bunt. Hallelujah. You've got some power in you. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You've got the power of the Word in you. And when you step up to plead, when you step up at that business, that job, when you step into the arena, when you step into the grocery store, you got clout. When you step into the bank, you're moving with manifested momentum. And when you come into the church doors, you're bringing that momentum with you. I got three. Hallelujah. I said, when you come in the church doors, you're bringing that momentum with you. an authority, the director delegated sanctioned jurisdiction to command or to control, the right to command a decision or action to happen. And when God gives you authority, no one else, the devil don't get to make the decision. When he's given, God's given you the authority, which we have authority and power over all the power of the enemy does not get the right to make the decision. He does not get the right to negotiate. He does not get the right to try to come into there and try to do some other choice. No, it is way God says it, period, point blank. Is people going to like it? No. Matter of fact, there are some Christian folk that need to step up to the plate longer, because the more you give room to the enemy, if you back up from babies being killed and you back up from people being mistreated, and you back up and you keep backing up and you don't stand against racism, and you don't stand against poverty, and you don't stand up for the word of God, and you don't stand, pretty soon you've backed yourself right into the jail cell of control of the adversary into bondage again. The enemy will purposely have people on his agenda, his paycheck, that will get in your face, that will try to tell you you're wrong, to see whether or not you know who you are and you know your stuff. Matter of fact, when you start quoting law and court cases have to do with your stuff, they go, hey, wait a minute, I'm up again. When you start quoting the ins and outs, this is how banking works, this is how finances work, not the way that you're saying, because I know. When you step up to the plate of stuff that you know, when your testimony has weight, turn to somebody and say, your testimony has weight. How many are not supposed to be where you are right now by some of the circumstances that were in your life? Let me see your hand. But God and following God. Turn to somebody and say, look at you. Look at you now. Hallelujah. We'll bring it home here. Anointing. That is God's power backing your engagement to win over everything. How many knows that there was fresh oil this morning in people's lives? There's an anointing. You do not have to be anointed every time by the preacher to carry an anointing. You are carrying that anointing. You are glory carriers. You are weighty. Hallelujah. And when you move, the enemy knows you're moving. When you're moving with the total assignment of God, the enemy knows it and feels it. And glory has weight. The divinity of God on you, the favor of God on you, his handiwork amongst your life, giving God glory, bringing more weight to his name, the manifest presence of God's close essence and personal working. And then number 10, how to wind this up, is esteemed honor. That's a person that's carrying merited respect. Merited respect. And this is what happened when the Lord spoke and he was teaching. Those demons said, we know who you are and the power you have. What were they saying? We respect you. When the Lord stepped on the Gadarene shore, just stepped on it, the man with 3,000 demons ran at his feet, and they were screaming out to not cast them out into the darkness, into the abyss. Please send us into the pigs. Please, because they knew who they were dealing with. And I want to tell you that when you are going forth, you do not have to say, I'm somebody to deal with. You just simply walk in the power of God and know I'm not backing up. I do have a backbone. I have a grit. And when I pray, things are going to, if I can't get it, I'm going to get two or three other prayer warriors. And we're going to keep up in the ante till we get it moved. We're going to keep on praying. We're not giving up. Because every time the church went silent, the move of God stopped. We had moves of God, and then they thought it would just carry on cruise control. There is no cruise control, saints. There is another inning. You're going to have to get back up and bat again. You're going to have to beat the devil in the head again. Sometimes when the enemy tries to pop up from your past, that's just your whooping boy to practice your swing. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm bringing it home. Look at this, Proverbs 22:4. True humility and the fear of the Lord lead to what? Say it out loud. Riches, honor, and long life. Humility, honoring God first, not trying to honor ourselves first. Humility brings riches, honor, and long life, which is weight in the kingdom. When pride sets in, that's somebody seeking weight that has not been given to them. The enemy wanted to go above God. He didn't have the right or authority to go above God. His own pride sought a weightier position. And when you seek a weightier position that God has not given you to access, it lessens your true weight. But every time you are in humility and honor and the fear of the Lord, it will add to you. Just give it time. Sometimes people don't see it, but give it time. All of a sudden, if you're persistent enough and you keep on coming, your turn to bat is coming up. How many knows there's some people on the bench, and they're up there on the bench, and then all of a sudden the coach says, it's time for you to go up there. And they take a couple stretches and some practice swings, and they ain't been in the game all about. Now it's the eighth inning, and boy, the coach has called on them to get up there, and what does he want them to do? He don't want them to strike out. He wants them to make contact. Somebody says it's all right to make contact, but there's power in my swing. Hallelujah. So I bring this back to you again. The weight you're carrying times the speed of your movement. Just like this morning when prophetess said she saw the rapid pace, the running, the rapid pace, that when you pick up your momentum, testify quicker, do things quicker. When God tells you to do something, get on it right then. And that equals momentum and carrying force. And remember that the greater the momentum force, the greater the size and weight needed to bring it to a stop. And you can build unstoppable momentum. Would you stand to your feet? I know this has been different, and I hope that's been a blessing to you. Because I'm looking at God's people that are not light. Turn to somebody and say, you're not light and fluffy. In the battle, you're not a marshmallow. You're not a sugar Christian. You're not going to melt when it rains. Matter of fact, if we would tell the stories of how God brought us through, we would find out that we are many, many, many of us are very battle ready because we have been through the battles. And we can say that if the enemy could have stopped us, he should have stopped us. And there were times he almost did. But the Lord. See, because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? It was the Lord said to Megan, get back up to that Eagle Church. Get back up to that Eagle Church. There's thick, listen for the voice of the Lord. That's all I do. When I was prophesying to Jasmine, all I know is what he said. And I say what he said. 17, 17, 17. And then the Lord started giving 17-year-olds. There's 17 of them. That was two. I didn't have the third. But then the Lord opens a door that's coming up this week. A door for you to be at the prayer area, right? There's going to be 17-year-olds there. Probably going to take a count. Probably going to be 17 at the prayer pole. And that appointment is how many days from the prophecy? 17 days from the prophecy given. Because he, the Holy Ghost, is never wrong. He, the Holy Ghost, is never wrong. Would you just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I recognize that without you, I couldn't manifest momentum But it is your weight. It's the weight of your authority, the weight of your presence, the weight of your glory, the weight of your word, the weight of your spirit. Your joy in me has weight. It's my strength. Your peace has weight that cannot panic. Your faith in me has weight to believe and to receive. I thank you, Lord, that I refuse to be pushed around by this world. I refuse to be pushed around by social pressure at school or at work or in my neighborhood. But Lord, I have momentum, and I'm going to manifest that momentum to win souls to you, to speak up on your behalf, to stand strong. And when I need others, I know that the body of Christ will come together and will stand together and have greater weight. Lord, we pray right now for the body of Christ all across America and around the world to begin to be led totally by the Spirit of God, to come together in the same things, preaching the same things, standing up for the same things that you stood up for in the Bible. That, Lord, we will have weight that will carry manifested momentum. And, Lord, we give you praise for the very ones that are going to receive Jesus because of our testimony. For those that are also going to be helped because of us, that we're going to continue to serve our community and serve to reach around the world. And Lord, we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Would you give him a hand clap? Would you give him a hand clap?
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Ask him to remind you of things that he wants you to do, that you might have skipped over, skipped by. I've got an assignment I've got to do. The Lord's asked me to be a little different. There's a particular prayer line that today he spoke to me. He said, you're going to call that prayer line and you're going to bless them, because they never get anybody that blesses them when calling the prayer line. And there's folks that have given out, and nobody's praying for them. They need strength. God may ask you to do something and it sounds different than you've ever done. Be okay with the different of the Holy Spirit, because he's always working on the other side. See, I happen to know in the spirit by light that somebody's praying. Somebody's working prayer phones. I'm going to end up with the right one, Brother Jeff. Somebody who's working the prayer phones has prayed to God. Won't somebody encourage me? I'm praying for everyone else, and I need prayer. God's always working on the other end. When he whispers to you to do something, it's going to be a shock and an awe, but it's going to be a place where they say, what? God heard my cry? What? How did you know that? I'm just obeying what he said. He heard you. My dad put it this way. People send prayers up. God sends instructions down, so that when you obey, it completes the circuit. Do that with me. People send prayers up. God finds instruments and sends us a word. And then we obey, and it completes the circuit, and the prayer is answered. Somebody say, I'm going to manifest momentum by being somebody's answer to prayer. I feel that right there, right there, right there. Let's see how many answers. Put your hand up if you want to be an answer to prayer. Look at how many prayers God can answer. God can answer through you. You're going to be the answer to prayer. Partners that are already sending in to sponsor a woman for Africa Fully Endowed, you are becoming an answer to their prayers. They can't buy a ticket, they can't get a visa, they can't get over here to be a part of it. Many of them do not have digital areas. They're going to be drawn to an area that has a digital presentation, and prophetess who has never been to Africa will be in Africa the end of this month via Zoom to all those women for their first time. Her first time ministering to the African folks in Malawi, and all of those women's first time being introduced to be imparted to by our prophetess. So that means we may need some prayer folks that if you are up on the 30th and the 1st and you are open at 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock and can remember some prayers, or God puts you on assignment to do so, we need some prayer warriors praying. Covering in prayer. Isn't that going to be something? She's going to speak a word. That baseball bat's going to come out against the adversary, and some women on the other side of the planet are going to get delivered by the power of Jesus. And going to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Ooh, Rabakia. Breaking some curses off of their life and empowering them to be better than ever. Ooh, Klaparabia, Radaboko, Shatadaba. I thank God. I thank God for Bishop Festus in Kenya and the six that have been watching since 2:30 this morning, all the way now as it's beginning to be sunrise as they've been with us. He said only six of us could get awake after all that we're doing, but we're with you. Three Sundays in a row, they've been up at 2 in the morning to be in service with us, to learn and to understand. Tap your neighbor and say, what if God reverses it and He wants you up at 2:15 in the morning? You're already practicing something. It's not fair. Lolita's already practicing for it. Praise Him with her work. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and say, Father, everything left in September, the supernatural September, manifest momentum. Let our praise have momentum. Let our everyday life have momentum. Let our prayer life have momentum. Let our worship have momentum. Let there be momentum in our shout, momentum in our dance, momentum in our giving, momentum in our outreach, momentum in our reach to You. And Lord, we give You praise in Jesus' mighty name. Now celebrate it, celebrate it, celebrate it, celebrate it. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you apostolically in the name of Jesus, that the remainder of this month will have supernatural components in it that'll be noticeable. I bless you, Miss Jasmine. The power of God is going to flow through you as you minister there at the prayer at the pole. I bless you that are ministering to family. I bless you that are ministering to fellow workers. I bless you that are ministering to people that are in your life. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shout, I will manifest the momentum of my God. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Miss Selena is coming with our